Come on, are y'all out there? Amen. Now, I'm going to tell you right now, I'm from Texas. And I expect people to talk back to me.
Come on, amen.
The more you talk, the better I'm going to preach, I promise.
Yeah.
As preacher said, the Hewitts went out under our group as missionaries to Sri Lanka. They came to our deputation school, and that's when I first really got to love them. But most of all, I love their daughters. Their daughters are like my grandkids. I love them so much. And if he's talking about age, I'm old enough to be his dad.
That's true.
And if I had been his dad, he'd be a lot better man. But I'm just kidding. But I love the Hewitts so much, and they've been dear friends of mine for a long time. And it's exciting to see God working in their life and Him working in your life. And that is such a joy. There's no greater joy than to serve the Lord. There's no greater joy to do it with all your heart. None of this surface stuff. I mean, let's get in. You know, I always say it's like a swimming pool. You're either in or out. You can't stand on the side and say, aren't we swimming good? No, you got to get in. That's the way serving God is. And that's especially the way faith promise is. I'll never forget, my wife and I got saved January the 14th, 1973. So that was a whole lifetime ago. 53 years. We celebrate our 53rd anniversary of being saved January the 14th of this year. It's exciting. Somebody said to me one time, would you go back and change it? Not one chance. I love serving my God. And we hadn't been saved but just a very short time. Probably 2 weeks, maybe three at the most. I don't remember exactly. But my preacher come and knocked on my door. Now, when I got saved, I'd never been in church in my life. I had no idea what church was. Didn't know what they did. So I went and answered the door and I said, preacher, I didn't know preachers came to people's houses. I didn't know that. I thought you had to go to church to talk to them. He came into my house. He said, I got something to talk to you about. I said, what's that? He said, I want to talk to you about tithing. I'm 3 weeks older than the Lord, and he's in there telling me about tithing. I said, well, what is that? I never heard that term. And he said, well, that's when you give 10% of everything God gives you to the Lord. I thought the man was joking. I started laughing at him. He said, I'm not kidding. I said, you're trying to tell me those people in your church do that? He said, almost every one of them. And then he lied to me. I hate it when preachers lie to you. He said, you tithe for 1 month. You want your money back, I'll give it back to you. He's not giving it back. Now, I'm telling you right now, you put that man in the offer plate, you're never getting it back. And so anybody tells you you get it back, you don't get it back. But you know what? He knew I'd never ask. He knew that. Because giving your life and your finances to the Lord is one of the greatest privileges that we have. And then when it comes to faith promise, people say, well, that's a strange way for God to support missionaries. God doesn't do this just to support missionaries. He does it for you. Faith promise missions is one of the greatest things God can do for you. And let me tell you why. Because God said in Hebrews 11:6, without faith, it is impossible to please God. You know what? Does God know what the word impossible means? It means it's not happening. You cannot serve God without faith. So let me ask you, what have you done by faith today? Hello? Well, let's see. I got up and got in the shower and brushed my teeth, which you're glad I did that. And I took a shower, put my clothes on. What did you do by faith? Well, I'll tell you what I did. I got over in my chair in the motel and called it my prayer room. And I spent some time with my God reading His book. You still read the Bible after all these years? You wouldn't believe how much I read the Bible. Folks, it's awesome to serve God. And then we hadn't been saved very long until we had this missionary come to our church. His name was Mosley. He was a missionary to Papua New Guinea. Elderly gentleman. He was probably 50 at my time. I thought everybody was old because I wasn't. And when he preached, he had this giant Adam's apple. And his tie went like this. It was hilarious. First time I sat and watched him preach, all I did was laugh. I couldn't even hear what he said. It was so funny. And then finally he got up there and he got my attention and he started praying and talking about how much the need was in Papua New Guinea. And he showed the slides. That was back when they had slideshows. And he showed these people and said, they need Jesus! And tears running down his face. And you know what I decided? That guy really believes what he's saying. So you know what I did? I said, I'll get on board with that. Now, it's so funny how you start in faith, just getting a little at a time. So my wife and I prayed a lot about this, and we decided we'd give $5 a week. That was my entire week's worth of lunch. And I told her, I said, if I have to go to that lunch, I'll do it for them people in Papua New Guinea. I'll do it. But really, I was doing it because I love the Lord. So we started. Boy, has God made our life different. You got to do something by faith. You know, the Bible talks about faith promise in this manner. In 2 Corinthians chapter 9, he said, now let me clarify here for a moment, 2 Corinthians 9. Here's what God's talking about. He's talking about taking up an offering for the poor people in Jerusalem. Now, you understand that there's two things God says you're supposed to do about giving. Come on, I came here to talk to you about giving. Is that a problem? That's what God tells us to do. So God says there's two ways. Malachi chapter 3 says, will you rob God? They said, what are you talking about? How do we rob God? You rob God in tithes? And what's the next sentence? And offerings. So if you don't do both of those things, you're robbing God. People think, well, I'm tithing. I've got it. But no. There's still an offering. Now, tithing is so simple. God makes everything pretty simple because He knows how simple we are. Come on. It would not do good for me or somebody to come to me and try to explain to me about certain scientific stuff. I don't even know what you're talking about. So God's going to make it where we understand. So here's what He said. Here's what a tithe is. Are you ready? 10% of everything that comes into your house belongs to God. Hello? Yeah. Everything. You sell your house, you made money on it. Now, not what you had to pay for to get it, but the money you made, you tithe on it. Everything that comes in your house, you tithe on it. Now, nobody's going to make you do that. Nobody could make you do that. That's how cheaters get started and you try to make somebody do it. No, you do it because you love the Lord and He told you to. And quite frankly, it's one of the joys of my life. And then He said, now I want you to give an offering. Now, offering's different. Oh, so different. What God says about an offering is this. I set the plan. I set the need in front of you. I show you the need. Missionaries have been here for the last 3 or 4 weeks, right? 4 weeks. You saw the need, right? Did they show you the need? So God said, I'm going to show you the need, and then what I'm going to do. The Holy Spirit's going to come around and say, you give this, and you give this, and you give this, and you give this. And it may not have anything to do with how much money you have. It's what God lays on your heart. Come on. Yeah. And it's exciting that God, you ever think of how exciting it is when God speaks to you? Yes, ooh, He don't have to, you know. Mm. You don't deserve it, you know. But He speaks to you. And He shows you the need, and then He said, I want you to give this. And then you write it on a card. That's what we're going to do today. Write it on a card. Say, where did you get that? Oh, let me see. 2 Corinthians chapter 8. The Bible says they decided to do this a year ago. Yeah, right. So when preacher said we're going to do this for the next 52 weeks, he didn't make that up. That's right out of the Bible. That's what God told us to do. You can convict yourself, you convince yourself, you show yourself, and then you do it for 52 weeks. 52 weeks from now, you'll have another one. And then you can do it another 52 weeks. I've been doing that now for 53 years. 52 weeks at a time. It's awesome. And you say, do you always raise your support? No. There's been some times when I couldn't do as much. But that's what God told me. Amen. He tells you what to do. Aren't you glad? That's what a Faith Promise Missions offering is. You see the need. You pray. Ask God what He wants you to do. Now, if you don't care what He wants you to do, just keep your card and take it home with you and put it in the trash. Hello? But if you want to get on board with God, then you do what He tells you to do. And if He tells you to give $10 a week, give $10 a week. And then believe. Believe that He's going to supply it. Now, don't sit around waiting on Him to drop pennies out of heaven. He supplies it in all kinds of different ways. When I went up to Indiana and started a church for 5 years, I was up there, started a church, got people coming, bought a building. You know how churches start. And I worked a job and all this stuff. And for 5 years, I did. We didn't have a nickel's worth of insurance. health insurance? None. People say, you went without health. You know how many times we needed it? None. Never went to the doctor. Never went to the hospital. Sometimes people, that happens in their life, and they say, well, we were just lucky. No, you wasn't. God's blessing you. And He's done that for me over and over and over. Keep your old car running a lot longer. He does all kinds of things to do in your life. The problem is we don't give Him credit for it. We think we did it. No, you didn't do it. So God said, here's what I want you to do. Just do what I say. Now, let me tell you this. You know, God knows today, tomorrow, and forever, right? Hello. He knows what's going to happen to you next week, next year. So if God tells you to do nothing, you might want to look up. You're going to have a tough year. Hello? But if He speaks to you and says, I want you to do this, and you think, whoa, that's a bunch. Yeah, you're going to have a great year. You're good. I'm just telling you, that's the way it works. So God says in 2 Corinthians chapter 9, and instead of calling it faith promise missions, this is what God calls it. He calls it grace giving. Grace giving. You know what grace is? Undeserved favor, right? That's what it means no matter what He's talking about using grace for. So when He's talking about grace giving, He's talking about you giving something you don't deserve to get to give. Woo! That's pretty awesome. But here's what God says. Here's how it's supposed to work. 2 Corinthians chapter 9. But this I say, he which soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly. You got that? Anybody not understand? I know it's King James is tough, but do you not understand that? If you give a little, you're going to get a little back. Simple stuff. He said, and he which soweth bountifully shall reap bountifully. Now, which one you want to do? Sparingly or bountifully? That's a simple question and an easy answer. I want all I can get. But listen to this. Every man and woman and boy and girl, everybody, the Bible says, every man, according as he purposes in his heart, so let him give. So how do I do this? I purpose in my heart. I make up my mind, this is what God wants. One of the times in the Word of God that God uses this term in this manner was when Daniel was in captivity. Now, you know, Daniel was under the authority of the captain of the eunuchs. Do you understand that? If you don't, I'll explain it after church. Daniel had been treated very, very badly. He's in captivity. I don't think anybody in here has any clue what it means to be a slave. And quite frankly, I'm very glad. I don't want to be a slave. I laugh at all these people that were talking about slavery back in the... If they still had slavery, I promise you, my father would have sold me. And I'd be a slave right now. I guarantee it. He had five of us. He didn't need all of us. I'm glad that is not the way it works, aren't you? But Daniel was a slave. He was a eunuch, and he purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself. Now, what does that mean? He was not going to eat anything that was offered as a sacrifice to devils. He wasn't going to do it. He was not going to drink any of the king's wine. So what does he do? He purposed in his heart. He made up his mind, this is what I'm going to do, and it may cost me my life. Are you that serious about this stuff? I am. And have been. Purpose in his heart said, and so, listen, this is the good part. Now, here's where God comes in. God gave him favor with the head cheese. Woo! A lot of people would have missed that. He just likes my personality. No, God gave him favor. Don't forget that. God gave him favor with the guy in charge. And so he went to the guy in charge and he said, I can't eat this meat and drink this wine because I love my God. It's always funny when people tell others that they can't do stuff. You know, when I first got saved, I didn't know anybody that wasn't a drug addict or a drug dealer. I didn't know anybody. So what'd you do about it? Well, a lot of them, the Lord knows what I did about it. But I didn't know anybody. So somebody said, you got to get new friends. You live for Jesus, you'll get new friends whether you like it or not. Those other people aren't going to hang out with you. It was so funny. I went back to work. I worked for the phone company. Well, I got paid by the phone company. I never worked one whole day of my whole life at the phone company, ever. We sit around and play dominoes and ping pong and all that kind of stuff all the time. And we got paid for it. When I go back to work on break, I'd get my Bible out and start reading. First day I was there, Monday after I got saved, I was sitting around with about the 20 guys I usually thought. I pulled my Bible out. Next break, they was all at another table. I didn't have to find new friends. They ran from me like I had a plague.
Yeah.
And one of them said, "What are you doing?" I said, "I'm reading my Bible. I got saved Sunday, and I love my Jesus." I couldn't tell them how to get saved. I couldn't tell them one verse. I didn't know a verse. I just knew I wanted to serve my God. So I read. Boy, after about a week, they wouldn't even talk to me. Except one guy. He said, "You really believe that Bible?" I said, "I surely do." He said, "Have you ever read it all?" I said, "Not yet, but I'm on my way." He said, "I want to know about this Revelation thing." I said, "Okay, now here's what we're going to do. I will help you. But I'm going to write down your question. I'm going to go home and ask my preacher, and I'll bring you back the answer." I had no clue. So I did this for about 3 weeks, and then we got transferred. We got separated. He went one place, I went another. After about 6 months or something like that, I get a phone call about 3 o'clock in the morning, and it was his wife. His name was Wayne Bryant. And she said, "Are you Dick Webster?" I said, "I am." She said, "Wayne told me to call you. He's sitting in the middle of the bed with a gun, and he's going to kill himself because he said everything since you told him all that stuff about Revelation, he can't sleep, he can't eat, he can't do anything." And this is what I told her. "Good." And she did dial another in. She had no idea.
Yeah.
She said, "Will you come and talk to him?" I said, "I will." So I got out of bed. Now, let me tell you something. I didn't know what to do.
Yeah. Right.
You know, sometimes people think, "Well, he ought to know what to do." I don't know what to do about anything.
Yeah.
You know, I don't. You just, God gives it to you. So I got up. My wife and I got out. She got out of bed. And she wasn't going with me, but I got out of bed. And we prayed. Asked the Lord to help me. I went over there, and I'm praying all the way over there. "Lord, I have no idea what to do. I don't know what to do." So I walked and knocked on the door, and she said, "Oh, thank you for coming." He's in there in the bedroom with a gun in his head. I thought, "Oh, Lord." I walked in there, and I have no idea where this came from except from God. I said, "Wayne, give me that gun, you idiot." I thought he's going to shoot me. I didn't know what he's going to do. So he gave me the gun. Whew, boy, I'm so glad. And I couldn't lead him to Christ that night because he was too drugged up and all that. So I told him, this was like on a Thursday or Friday. I told him, I said, "Monday night I'll come back and talk to you." He said, "Okay." So Monday morning, I go to work, anticipating going to see him that night. And he walked in. He got transferred back to where I was. Had this big smile on his face. He walked in and I said, "You got saved yesterday, didn't you?" He said, "Yeah, I went to this church and I got saved." Wow. You don't think God works? You just got to be willing to do it. I didn't want to go over there and argue with a guy with a gun. That's not my thing. I don't really like that stuff. I'm really not that brave. But I'm telling you, I see what God will do if you'll just do what God tells you to do. So Daniel purposed in his heart that he was not going to do that. God gave him favor with the guy that was in charge. And he said, "Let's try a test run." And so they did. He said, "You just watch us. You give us water and pulse." I don't know what that is, but it don't sound good. "You give us water and pulse to eat. And after 10 days, you look at us and see if we look any different." Well, you know the answer to the story. They didn't look any better. Matter of fact, they looked better than the guys that had done before. Why? Because Daniel took a stand for his God. Do you? God said you got a purpose in your heart what you're going to do. You got to make up your mind what you're going to do for your God. And it all comes from a heart of love. I'm going to preach that to you tonight, but I want you to understand something. You've got to love your God. And so Daniel said, "Okay," and it all worked out. And you know, and Daniel ended up running the joint. Come on. Just like Joseph did. He ended up being the most important guy in the whole country. A eunuch, slave, running the joint. Hello? Can God do that? I have two grandchildren, three actually grandchildren. Well, I have, yeah, three grandchildren that work for Chick-fil-A. Good company, by the way. And I told my grandson, who's married to my granddaughter, I said, "Now listen, Bubba, if you go in there, you show up on time, do what you're told, and a little above it, you'll own the joint." Because nobody does that.
Yeah.
Nobody.
You're right.
The kids out there in the world, they have no idea what it means to work. So they just go to get their check and do as minimal as they could. So he goes in there, and he's taking out the trash when he's not told to. He's doing all this stuff. Well, let's see, about 4 months later, he's assistant manager. You understand what we're saying here?
Yes, sir.
God wants you to purpose in your heart. You're going to do what you're supposed to do. And people notice. Oh, my, do they ever notice. This is so funny. My wife said it to me the other day again. We're sitting at IHOP eating breakfast. This guy, and I don't have a suit and tie on or nothing. I have on a golf shirt and a pair of slacks, just a normal person looking. And the guy walks up, "Are you a preacher?" My wife said, "You got that road on you somewhere? They're reading this? How do they know that?" It's your spirit. Amen. They know. They know who you love just by the way you talk and act and the attitude you have. You go in someplace, they're not going to say, "Are you a preacher?"
Amen.
Amen. They're going to say, "This guy's nuts." Let me tell you something, folks. Purpose in your heart. That I will not defile myself. You got to make up your mind. I am not going to do what God doesn't want me to do. He purposed in his heart. He did not defile himself. And God blessed it. Now, God says here, I want you to understand, I want to give you the grace of giving. I want you to have the grace to give. Woo! It's so exciting. You know, the Bible says one of the gifts of the Spirit is giving. It is. But I say, this is just my opinion, but I say this. If you got the gift of giving, you got to have the gift to get. Because you can't get what you don't have. Or give what you don't have. Right? But everybody's supposed to be grace-giving. You don't have to have a gift to do that. You have an obedient heart. Just simply purpose in your heart that I'm going to give. And then notice what he says back in 2 Corinthians chapter 9. He said, "Every man according as he purposes in his heart, so let him give." That's the part we're going to do here today. We're going to promise to give. It's fun, folks. You know, and I'm not expecting you to do this. I'm just telling you what God laid on my heart. I have such a weird way of getting money, and sometimes I don't. Okay? I'm so-called retired from pastoring. That was a tough job to retire. I loved it. But I knew it's time. One of the ways I knew, I had several reasons, but I knew one reason is because our mission office had grown to the place where I needed a full-time missions director. So I was either going to have to hire somebody or do it myself. So I said, "Okay, I'm retiring from pastor and I'm going to do it myself. Because I love this job. I love this job." And so that's what I did. And so the last night I was there, the church, I'd been there 35 years. So we all knew each other pretty well. And so I got up the last night and they had given me a church credit card. And here's what they told me. "Put anything on there you want." And I said, "You mean church related?" He said, "No, just put anything on there you want." No, I never did. But that's what they told me I could do. So I got up there the last night I was there and I pulled the credit card out and I said, "Is there any chance you'd let me keep this?" And they did just like that. They all just started laughing. I said, "I'll take that as a no." I'm just telling you, when you step out and do something like that, it's a big deal. So now you're totally dependent on God to take care of you. Amen. It's kind of exciting, actually. But that makes it where you have to totally depend on God for everything. So my wife and I decided this is what we were going to do. I prayed and prayed about it. We was having our missions conference, and I had to fill out a card. Now, what am I going to do? I got to do something. So I prayed and prayed and prayed and prayed. And it seemed like God didn't give me an amount. I couldn't figure that out. He never had done that before. And then the day or a couple of days before we was actually fill out the card, God gave me this, and I'm not saying you need to do this. I'm just telling you what God told me to do. He said, "Because you're so erratic with finances, here's what you do. You just match your tithe and give that to missions." In other words, the 10% I give to tithe, I give the same 10% to missions. That way I just put it back in God's pocket and say, all right, this is how much you want me to give. Give me money and I'll give it. Now, I'm not saying that's what you should do. Most of the time, if you have a steady job, that's not what you should do. But that's what we did. Can I tell you, I've never had as much money as I've had since I did that. My son got really smart, and my son's a great preacher. And I know I'm prejudiced, but he is a great preacher. And I asked him, I said, what are you going to do? He said, well, God's laid something strange on my heart. I said, okay. I said, I can tell you about strange. He laid something strange on my heart, too. He said, God told me that whatever love offerings I get for preaching, I give it to missions. And he didn't really go out and preach much until after he did that. And now he's never at church. He told me that he gave $35,000 to missions last year. And it really, in honesty, didn't cost him a penny. Are you hearing me?
Yeah.
Purpose in your heart. Make up your mind. I want to get involved in this grace giving. I want to do what God tells me to do, and He's going to give me the grace to do it. Now listen, this is so exciting. And listen, He said, not grudgingly. If you're going to be angry about it, keep your money. Because it's not going to help you. I always used to tell people always, go ahead and give it, we'll use it, but you're getting nothing for it. Don't do it grudgingly. Faith promise is not a grudging thing. Well, preacher said I had to do it. If you're doing it for the preacher, you're doing it for all the wrong reasons. Does he want you to give? Yes, but not for the money. You know what Paul told those people when he was talking about this guy that had improper relationship with his stepmother? You know what Paul said? Paul said, I didn't write that to you because of him. And I didn't write that to you because of the people that he hurt. I wrote that so you'll know how much I love you. Ooh, that's what you're supposed to be with missions. Just how much do you love God? So God said, not grudgingly and not of necessity. Boy, some preachers don't like that. Do you understand faith promise is not a commandment? It's not like thou shalt not commit adultery. It's not the same. Not grudgingly, not a necessity. God is not going to make you do this. What He's going to do is make your life better if you do. And you're going to get something by faith. Now listen, grace giving is this. Now listen to this. He said, not grudgingly, of necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver. Excited giver. Hallelujah! I had a lady in my church. She was had her own company. I don't have time to tell you how she got it. God basically gave her a company. And she owned half of it. And then she come to me. And she was right around 65, between 65 and 70 at the time. And she said, I'm going to retire. And so I negotiated a deal to sell my half of the company to my partner. And I'm going to tell you about it, and then you can tell me whether I did good or not. She said, he agreed to give me $1 million cash. But I told him he had to give me $1.2 million. And a new car every 2 years. And my salary for the rest of my life. She made $7,000 a week. So she got that for the rest of her life. And she said, what do you think? Did I do good? I said, can you come and talk to my deacons and negotiate a deal for me? Whoa, I said, man, you did good. I thought it was good. So her husband come in on a Saturday at my office. And he was a very wealthy guy. They had lots of money, but you'd never know it by looking at him. He wore blue jeans and probably a $2,000 pair of boots, like Texans do.
Yeah.
And one of those shirts that have snaps all over, you know, the pockets and everything. That's what he wore. He wore that everywhere. And when he really wanted to dress up, he put a jacket over that. And quite frankly, I thought it looked pretty good. But, you know, anyway. So he come in on Saturday and he unsnapped his thing. He took out a piece of paper that was wadded up like this. And I thought, he said, preacher, you ever seen a $1.2 million cashier's check? And he was wadded up. I said, no, can't say I have. And it was a $1.2 million cashier's check. And he said, I just wanted to come by today and tell you that you're going to have a $120,000 check in the offering tomorrow. and I didn't want you to have a heart attack. Now, that was the joking part. But he said, I really wanted to tell you, and I know you will. You do whatever you want to do with this money. And he said, I know you will. I'm just telling you that's what I want. So the next day, I thought, all right, I'm going to watch. You know, you can see all kinds of things from up here. Everybody will have a chance to sit up here on a Sunday. You see some strange stuff. So it come time to watch, put the offering plate through. They passed the offering plate down her, and I said, I watched her. She put that $120,000 check in the offering. She had a smile from ear to ear, and she had it out waiting for, anticipating putting it in. That's what God's talking about. A cheerful giver. I've watched other people give. They pass the offering plate. They put something in. If they pass it back one more time, they'd take it back out. That's not cheerful giving, folks. I love to give. Hello. It's awesome. And so God said, I want you to understand grace giving. Isn't that good? I love grace giving. Now listen, I got a little bit more to tell you and then I'll be through. Listen to verse 10. Of that same chapter. Or verse 8, I'm sorry. He said, now listen, don't miss this. And God is able. Is God able? Ooh, He's able to do anything He wants. Nothing impossible for God. And God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that ye always have all sufficiency in all things. Not just money, but in money. God said, you get involved in grace giving to the offering, and I'll make grace appear in all things in your life. I am so thankful that God helped me figure this out a long time ago. I'm a car guy. I love cars. I buy and sell them. Last time I called, I have had over 20 Corvettes. I buy them, sell them, buy them, sell them. But I drive them in the midst time because I love driving them. They're really fast. I love that. And I'm glad God lets me do that because it's really fun to me. Now, I don't get rich off of it, but I make a little bit off of it. And so I haven't been since COVID, though, because nobody's buying them. But anyway, I had this guy call me up one day. Actually, it was a lady. She called me up and said, Preacher? And I had no idea who it was. She said, I've been told that you like cars. I said, yeah, I like cars. I got one I want to give you. And that's not the first time it's happened. And I said, cool. And I don't remember the year of it, but it was fairly new at the time. She said, I got a Volkswagen Passat. I had no idea what that was. I am not a Volkswagen guy. They don't run fast enough. So she brought this Volkswagen down, and she gave it to me. Title and everything. And I said, well, that's cool. Now, there's a couple things I knew right off the bat. God didn't give it to me for me. If it didn't have 400 horsepower, I knew God didn't give it to me. Simple process. So I thought, okay, Lord, what do you want me to do with this? So I just started praying, asking God what to do with this car. And so I pray and pray, and come church Sunday, and it's sitting out there right next to my parking spot. And some of the guys said, whose car is that? It's mine. So what you going to do with it? I said, I don't know yet. God's going to tell me. You say, well, why didn't you just sell it and keep the money? I didn't think that's what God wanted. So a period of time goes by, not a long time, but a few weeks. And this missionary comes and knocks on my office door about noon on an off night, off day, doing what I told our missionaries to do. Stop by to meet the preacher. He said, I just stopped by to meet you. I'm a missionary, blah, 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 blah. And he said, I want to take you out to lunch. Now, there's no way I'm letting him take me out to lunch. He knew that. He probably didn't have a plug nickel in his pocket when he said it. And so I asked him, I said, okay, all right, let's go to lunch. But before we do, let's pray. Is there anything that you desperately need? I said, let's pray about it. He said, well, my number one need right this minute is a car. I start laughing. He said, no, I'm serious. I need a car. I said, you won't after this conversation. He had no idea what that meant. So we prayed, and I went out there and showed him. I said, how do you like that? And he said, wow, that'd be a great debutation car. I threw in the keys. Give him the title. He's just standing there bawling like a baby. Now, can I tell you all the amount of money that car was worth would not be worth that moment?
Yeah.
It is more blessed to give than receive, I promise you. And so he was such an honest dude. He said, now, preacher, when I get through with this on deputation, what do I do with it? I said, sell it, take the money, and go to the mission field with it. So I'm giving you the car. Have you ever had the blessing to do stuff like that? Grace giving will give you the chance to do that. Maybe not that, but something else. All the time. One of the hardest things for me to learn as a missionary was I'd get up and preach and have a good time and talk about giving to God, and some dear, sweet, retired widow lady would walk up and put a $50 bill in my pocket hand. And I wanted to say, ma'am, I got more money than you do. And I did. And then the preacher, the first time this happened, the preacher stabbed me and he said, don't even think about it. Don't you rob that woman of the blessing she's going to get for giving you that $50. That's a hard lesson for me to learn. But God blesses. You know the story of the widow's mite? I was just reading that this morning in my devotions. This lady put two mites in. All these rich people put in their abundance. You know what Jesus said? She gave more than they all. She's not talking about individually, more than they all did collectively. But two mites. Why? Because it was all she had. Now here's what I want you to see about grace giving, and then I'm going to quit. Find that hard to believe, don't you? God's more concerned about how much you have left than he is about how much you give. Did you catch that? You know, God lets you keep part of your money for yourself. Isn't that great? So awesome. He could demand it all. He's God. He can do whatever he wants. But he says, I want you to give. And I want you to give with a cheerful heart, because you love me. Now listen to this. You can't get this deal anywhere else. And if you do that, I will bless you. That's incredible. Now, please don't get mad at me, but I give to Tunnels a Tower. I think that's one of the greatest things in the world to help our military people. And I did a lot of research on it. 99% of the money you give actually goes where it's supposed to. Very few charities ever do that. So I do that. But you know what? I never expect him to call me up and say, thank you for your gift. I'm still waiting. And he hasn't going to. I'm pretty sure he's not going to. I don't do it to get a thank you. I do it to help those soldiers. Folks, if you just give by grace and give it to the Lord with a happy heart because you love the Lord, he will extend the grace to give to grace in other parts of your life. In all things, grace will be available to you. Whew, hallelujah. Now, for the next few minutes, preacher told me to tell you this. I am the missions director for the GIBM. And basically what we do is help missionaries. We endorse them. We don't approve them because we believe the church does that. We're totally local church oriented. I usurp no authority over the missionary at all. None. I've had people say, is this missionary home on furlough? So I don't know. You don't have to tell me. I strictly help them, period. And people just can't believe we'll do that with no strings attached. But we do. And basically how this works is we have missionaries that we make sure they believe what we believe, because I'm not going to help some heretic. But if they believe what we believe and their sending church believes what we believe, we're on board. And so they go out on deputation and have the churches that support them to send it to our office in Sherman, Texas. They send the checks in. We process them. We have what my wife calls a bank machine, and all the checks just through the bank and is automatically deposited in our account. Wonderful thing. When first started, you had to do one check at a time on all those big old long things. Now, it's in there. It's wonderful. It prints out a report, and then we deposit it in our account. At the end of the month, we take everything that's come in, everything that's come into the missionary, and we put it in their account in the bank. You say, what did they do with it? I have no idea. That's between them and their pastor. I just put it in there. I do ask them to give me a report on what they did because the IRS may want to know. You know, I don't know if you've ever been audited. I hope not. But if you have, first thing they do is check your bank account and how much money you had come in. That's what they do for the missionaries too. So we take care of that. And so at the end of the year, I give them a 1099 for whatever salary their church set. The church sets the salary. I give them a 1099 for that amount. And all the rest of it, they put on a form what they did with it. Housing, cars, buildings, da-da-da-da-da. That way, if the IRS checks their account and they say they got $25,000 of salary and they had $80,000 in their checking account, the IRS say, what? So we pull out that little report and hand it to them, and they say, that's good work. And they leave us alone. Pretty awesome, isn't it? That's part of what we do. And because we're a 501c3 corporation, if you don't know what that means, it means we are a nonprofit missions agency, which means I can send money anywhere in the world, no strings attached. Now, if you know anything about sending out money to other worlds, other countries, you can't do it as an individual without filling out paper after paper after paper, proving that you're not sending money to a terrorist organization. I don't have to do that. My wife would go up every month, and she wires money to missionaries all over the world. Pretty cool. Nobody ever questions anything. It's what we do. And then we, at the end of the year, we give them a 1099. If they need help with their taxes, I help them, but most of them don't. And in the during the month, if they have a car payment, interest, or finance something, money coming out, we take it out. If their car payment's due on the 16th of the month, we pay it. And at the end of the month, we take the money back, just as a courtesy. Several of them, we pay their tithe for them because they don't want to send a check from the foreign field. So we send a check to their church. We do all kinds of stuff like that for the missionary. Say, why do you do it, preacher? Two reasons. I love missionaries, but most of all, I love Jesus. And I know Jesus loved missionaries. So that's what we do. And you say, well, how do you do that? How we pay for this, we have a budget of about $9,000, just a little over $9,000 a month it takes to run the missions office. It's almost 10. And we process $3.5 to $4 million a year for basically $90,000. Nobody can do it that cheap. But we're not trying to make money. We're just trying to help. Okay? So what we do is we go out to churches like you. Now here's the commercial. And I ask you to help the missions offer. And I have churches all over America. When they send in their mission check, whatever they give their missionaries, they give the office. And that's how we run the office. And I tell people all the time, if you support the missions office, you're supporting 50 missionaries in one shot. That's a pretty good deal. You can't support them all individually, but you can support them all by helping us. And I guarantee you, every penny you send to the missionary gets to the missionary, and we live on whatever they send us. And sometimes it's tight. Sometimes it's yay. But God always provides. Always. We have to have our own building because my home church, my son pastors it, and it's a big church. You drive up and you're kind of, whoa, it's that kind of building. It's wow. But there's not one open part of that building that he can let me use. They have a school that runs about 200. And since we got the vouchers like you got, starting in September, ours will probably triple. Because all kind of people out there want to send them, but they don't have money for tuition. So we got all of these ministries going, and there's no room in there for us. So we go out and we rent a building. And we have to pay the rent and the utilities to have a place to do this ministry. So that's part of the cost of doing the job. And then we have two people on staff and one part-time person, and we do all that. Now, understand, we're doing $3.5-4 million a year, and the average check is about $100. Does that tell you how many checks we process? A bunch. And listen, that's not a complaint. We love it. It's an awesome thing. I go to get the mail every day. I'm the mail guy. I come back to my office, I open them up, and I'll have a stack of mail every day about this big. And we put 40 checks in a deposit. So I count out 40 checks. I go over here to my calculator, 40 checks, put the thing around it, and give it to her. She goes and puts it in the bank. Boop, boop, boop. Then she gives it back to me, and I write on the form we got who to give the money to. Every missionary is on the form. He gets $100 here, $50 here, and I add it up. And then I give it to her, and she puts it in the computer. And then we're finished with that one. But we do about 30 of those a month or more. So it's a wonderful job, but it's time-consuming. I mean, it takes physical work. And please don't think I'm complaining, because we love it. We absolutely love it. Everybody keeps asking me, when are you going to retire? I just had my 76th birthday. Somebody said, when are you going to retire? When I die? Or physically can't do it? And as far as I go right now, I'm doing just as good as I can do. Had a little glitch 2 years ago. Had a heart problem. I had to have open heart surgery. I was down for about a month, maybe less. I went to my 2 week, I was in the hospital 2 days. 2 days. Everybody told me, well, you got out in 2 days. 2 days. I got up and went home. I went to my 2 week checkup, and I told the guy, I said, now listen, doc, I want to do two things. He said, what's that? I said, I want to preach, and I'll drive my car. And he said, okay. I've been doing it ever since. God's good. He fixed me, and I'm going strong. You say, well, what if you have another? Well, he'll either fix me or take me to heaven and fix me better. Either way, I win. I'm just telling you, this is something we do out of love for the Lord, and we love it. And I promise you, and I was supposed to kid 5 minutes ago, but I promise you, 10 minutes ago, I promise you, if you help this missions office, you'll never be sorry, as long as I'm drawing a breath. We will use your money correctly, and we will help missionaries. Lord, we love you. Thank you for this church. Thank you for this preacher and his family. We love them so dearly. Pray that you'd bless our service today and bless all these folks as they get involved in grace giving. As they put on this card what you laid on their heart, they purpose in their heart, they're going to do it. And we'd praise you for it. In Jesus' name.